Awesome. Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 on Thursday, April 1st. We had to move the regularly scheduled meeting onto April Fool's Day just to keep everybody guessing. We normally meet on Wednesdays, but today we're gathering on a Thursday. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Randy Christman and Brian Crosius, so we have a quorum. I do not have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Christman?
Nor do I, thank you.
How about you, Mr. Crosius?
I do, Madam Chair. Today marks the beginning of Safe Digging Month. I have the governor's proclamation in hand, so call before you dig, obviously, but just a I believe we have a press release going out today. Is that correct, Stacy? So it is out already. It's something that's important to recognize. It's not just about today or the month of April, though, but to be practice safe digging practices throughout the year. And I did a little bit of research beforehand. The top four causes of excavation accidents include the top reason for an accident to occur is no call was made to the 811 center. That's the leading cause. Early excavation is another cause. Inaccurately marked facilities, another cause, and then unmarked facilities due to inaccurate records. But by far the leading cause is failure to call the one call center. And it's simple, it's easy, it's 811, it's the law. And it'll keep the public safe, and that's the most important thing to remember in all of this. And even homeowners can face a fine for not calling 811, and a lot of times they don't realize that, but it's really about public safety. And on another side note, while not directly tied to the one call center, trenching and excavation work accounts for more fatalities than general construction work. And this is on the construction side, and the number one thing that happens that's can lead to fatalities would be soil collapse, cave-ins. So just a reminder to the excavators not only to call but to practice safe digging techniques, to put those in use and play when out in the field as well. So excited to have this in hand. I don't think the governor... recent surgery had anything to do with a digging accident, but it's nice that this is signed and it is official. So everyone be safe. Call before you dig.
Excellent. Excellent, Brian. Thanks for pushing that important message out there. And on April Fool's, that's no joke.
Well said.
And in this case, no call is a bad call. So be sure to call before you dig. All right, we have a couple of items on the consent agenda. Do we? Where's mine? Yes, we have a couple of items. So I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All righty. Moving into the regular agenda, I do not have any items this week. And so I will turn it over to Commissioner Christman, who has a number of items.
I do, and it's kind of going to be Falkirk Day at the convention here. Well, I'll start with the first motion, then I'll say it. I move the commission approve the bond rider that increases the amount of self-bond number SB-9503-1 to $89,505,000 for the consolidated bond area that covers permits NAFK 8405, NAFK 8705, and NAFK 9503, held by the Falkirk Mining Company and Falkirk Mining Company self-bond increase approval, PSC case number RC-21-115.
Second.
Because there's six of these, and sometimes, you know, one might forget whether we're talking about a revision or a renewal, and they're all Falkirk. If you want to keep score, we're going to be kind of addressing different things on basically these three permits, this 9503, 8705, and 8405. So that's why there's the various explanations on this one. Falkirk filed to change the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for determining the minimum bond amount for the whole consolidated bond area at the Falkirk mine. The bond area includes the three permits that total 49,755 acres. The worst-case reclamation cost estimate increased due to an update to the variable costs that were detailed under policy memo number 16. That's a North Dakota policy that we review these each year. The total bond amount for the consolidated bond area was $88,700,000. The riders will increase that amount to $99,450,000. This is not about like a price leader kind of thing where you price something at 99 cents, so it doesn't seem like it's a whole dollar. This is what the cost estimate comes to. An existing collateral bond in the amount of $6,021,500 and the surety bond that was recently increased to $3,923,500 represents 10% of that total $99.5 million bond. The other 90% is in the form of a self-bond that is guaranteed by Great River Energy. That bond is being increased to $89,505,000. It has been the practice of the commission to allow mining companies to self-bond up to 90% of their total bond amount. So the other 10% must be in the form of the collateral and surety bonds that I talked about. And the reason for that is the funds from the collateral and surety bonds would be more readily available than funds from a self-bond to begin the reclamation work in the unlikely event of a bond forfeiture. Falkirk and GRE meet the applicable self-bond requirements. Certain financial criteria must also be met in order to guarantee a self-bond. GRE meets the criteria by having an A or better bond rating. They currently have an A- from both Standard & Poor's and from Fitch Rating Service, and an A3 from Moody's. Also, the maximum amount of self-bonds that a company may guarantee is 25% of its tangible net worth. And the self-bond amount being guaranteed by GRE here is 24.8% of their tangible net worth. So everything seems in order. Staff recommends that the commission approve the rider that increases the self-bond.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I just would give, and this happens on a regular basis, I know from the portfolio holder, but just a shout out to the folks in the mining industry. I continue to be amazed at the work they do with reclamation, and this is the backstop to ensure that the land does return to its original state. But they do a tremendous job, and literally nobody does it better than the North Dakota mining community. So hats off to them.
It's very true.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, moving to RC2 then, and these do become a little less complex as we go. I move the commission conditionally approve revision number 31 to surface coal mining permit NAFK 9503. That's one of those three I'd mentioned earlier, held by the Falkirk Mining Company to the Falkirk Mine to add detailed mining plans for the south half of Section 2 and the southeast quarter of Section 3 of Township 144 North, Range 84 West. Update the post-mining topography for portions of the permit area. Update the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for the consolidated bond area that includes permits number NAFK 8405, 8705, and 9503, and update the other operation and reclamation plans as provided in revision number 31 in the Falkirk Mining Company, revision 31, permit NAFK 9503 application PSC case number RC-20-208.
Second.
So this revision part updates the post-mining topography for a large portion of the permit. It updates the worst-case reclamation cost estimated for the consolidated bond areas we discussed in the first motion and extends the timeline for several previously approved reclamation delay variance areas. The revised bond, the revised post-mining topography will bring the permit area into a mass balance and account for the most current mine plans reflective of mining conditions and needs at this time. The permit revision also includes updated plans for mining some additional acres. Mining in this area was initially scheduled to take place between 2028 and 2030. Revision number 31 now provides the specific plans and details for Falkirk to mine these tracts beginning this year and ending in 2029. The revision also extends the reclamation variance delays for various previously existing variance areas within the permit area. This revision also updates the worst-case reclamation cost estimate for the consolidated bond area at Falkirk Mine using the latest revised variable costs and updates the standalone consolidated bonding document. Again, the surety, self, and collateral bonds total $99,450,000. You're going to hear me saying that multiple times because it's such an important point. Falkirk has submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notice for this significant permit revision. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. We received no comments or objections to this revision application. A special condition is attached to this revision approval stating that these mining disturbances cannot begin in the proposed new coal removal area until and unless Falkirk Mining Company secures a valid coal supply contract beyond the year 2022. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends it be conditionally approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Madam Chair, if there's no objection, could I do RC4 before RC3? It will make more sense.
I think that's just fine. Any concerns, Brian?
No.
Okay. I move the Commission approve revision number 41 to surface coal mining permit NAFK 8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to identify the next five-year coal removal sub-areas and to update other information and mining and reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term. And Falkirk Mining Company Revision 41, Permit NAFK 8405, Application PSC Case Number RC-20-394.
Second.
This is again, this is 8405, another one of those three I mentioned in the first motion, but on September 8th of last year, Falkirk filed the application for this revision number 41 to permit 8405. This revision identifies the next five-year coal removal sub-areas and addresses items identified by the Reclamation Division as requiring updating or modification during our pre-renewal review of the permit. Revision 41 updates the surface and coal ownership, wildlife monitoring plan, surface water management and monitoring plans, and the transportation, operation, and reclamation plans for the next permit term. Mining and reclamation operations will continue in the existing permit area for many years. Revision 41 was considered a significant alteration and was subject to the public notice requirements. Falkirk submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members. We received no objections to this revision application. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are currently on file. Again, almost $100 million. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and respectfully recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Then going back to RC3, I move the commission approve renewal number 7 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until April 15, 2026, and Falkirk Mining Company renewal 7 permit NAFK8405 application PSC case number RC-20-393.
Second.
So now this, and this is why I want to take this subsequent to the other one, this is the renewal of that same permit we just revised, which includes portions of 26 sections of land in McLean County, totaling 10,169.5 acres. Mining and reclamation plans and other information for the next permit term were updated a moment ago with revision number 41. Again, Falkirk has submitted the affidavit of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and the advisory committee members and received no objections. Again, the evidence of performance bond is on file. The reclamation division has completed the review of the 5-year permit renewal and recommends that it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And if there's not objection, could I again take number 6 before number 5?
Sure.
Okay, so moving to RC6. I move the commission approve revision number 33 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK-9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to identify the next 5-year coal removal sub-areas and to update other information and mining and reclamation plans for the next 5-year permit term in Falkirk Mining Company Revision 33 Permit NAFK-9503 Application PSC Case Number RC-20-420.
Second.
So, and the fact that these two fall together is just kind of coincidental. They're long processes, and it just kind of worked that all the issues were resolved at the same time for a commission meeting. This is another of those permit areas that I mentioned in the consolidated mine area. But on October 6th of last year, Falkirk filed the application for this revision number 33 to this permit. The revision identifies the next 5-year coal removal sub-areas and addresses items identified by the Reclamation Division as requiring updating or modification during our pre-renewal review of the permit. Revision 33 updated the surface and coal ownership, wildlife monitoring plan, the description of groundwater hydrology, and operation plans. Several maps in this case were also updated to depict the revised permit boundary, which deleted 9.4 undisturbed acres from the permit. Mining and reclamation operations will continue in this permit area for many years to come. Revision 33 was considered a significant revision application, was subject to the public notice requirements. Falkirk submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members and received no objections. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are currently on file. That's part of that nearly $100 million plan I talked about earlier. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And now jumping back to RC5, I move the commission approve renewal number 5 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to extend the permit term in the existing permit area for another 5 years until April 17, 2026, in Falkirk Mining Company Renewal 5, Permit NAFK-9503, Application PSC Case Number RC-20-419.
Second.
And again, this now is the renewal of that last permit that we just revised, which includes portions of, believe it or not, 55 sections in McLean County, totaling over 29,100 acres. Mining and reclamation plans and other information for the next permit term were updated a moment ago with revision 33. Falkirk again has submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notice. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members, and once again received no objections. Evidence of the performance bond and liability insurance are on file. Again, almost $100 million. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this five-year permit renewal and recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And last, RC7, moving on from Falkirk. I move the commission approve the 2021 exploratory drilling Beulah Zap Phase 16, Beekler Valva Phase 2, and the 2021 sinkhole filling AML projects for abandoned mine reclamation in 2021 and submit the 2021 to 2024 North Dakota Abandoned Mine Land Simplified Grant application to the Office of Surface Mining to request $2,829,000 in federal funds in Public Service Commission 2021 to 2024 AML Simplified Grant Application, PSC case number AM-21-118.
Second.
First of all, let me emphasize that the irony is not lost on me of the complication of that motion and including the word simplified twice. So I noticed it too. But now we move on to the, after those six previous rather complicated and weighty decisions on a mine, now we move on to the result of what happens when years go by and nobody does that kind of work and you end up having to deal with abandoned mine lands. So those previous six were to prevent future generations from having to do what we're going to do now. On March 2nd of this year, we received notice that OSM, the Office of Surface Mining, allocated North Dakota $2,829,000 for the next AML grant period, which began March 1st. We should have been allocated $3 million this year as a minimum program-funded state. That's what the law says. But this amount was reduced by 5.7% due to sequestration. The AML division plans to the following AML projects in 2021. And there are four of them. For exploratory drilling, this investigatory project will be conducted to locate and characterize suspected underground abandoned coal mines near Belfield and Garrison. This project includes drilling into the mine workings and casing drill holes where voids are found for future grouting. It is estimated that about 15,000 feet of drilling will be needed. The estimated project cost is $200,000, and this one varies sometimes by year. If we run into things that need more drilling, we do more, but that's the estimate. Then the Beulah Zap Phase 16, and that is literally the 16th round of that area, because it was the heart of coal country those many decades. This remote backfilling project will stabilize underground coal mine workings along North Dakota State Highway 200, along 60th Avenue Southwest, which is a county road, and one residential lot. All are about 2 miles northeast of Beulah in Mercer County. This project will use previously drilled and cased holes with additional drilling completed as needed. An estimated 3,000 cubic yards of grout and 2,000 tons of sand will be pumped into mine voids. The estimated project cost here is $950,000. Then the 2021 Beekler Valva Phase 2 is a 30-acre project and will eliminate approximately 3,500 feet of dangerous high wall and over 90 dangerous sinkholes on three abandoned coal mines located in Ward County. The proposed reclamation project involves backsloping and backfilling the high walls and filling sinkholes. The estimated project cost is $400,000. This is southwest of Velva. I looked at it on a map one time. I don't want to be held to this. I'm thinking it's like 6 or 8 or maybe 10 miles southwest of Velva, I would describe it offhand. And then the fourth, the sinkhole filling, maintenance, and emergencies. This fills dangerous sinkholes caused by underground mine collapse. The sinkhole projects like this have been conducted since the 80s. Some funds may be used to conduct maintenance work on previously reclaimed sites. If necessary, some of these funds may also be used for other emergency projects. The estimated 2021 project cost is $75,000. It's just something we keep, and it seems like almost every year some emergencies pop up. The total estimated project contract costs for 2021 are $1,625,000.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
See, I have a question, Randy, and it's mostly just, can you remind me how the grant applications work, like these three-year periods, and how the federal money is, why do we have these three-year periods of application and then they allocate us money for 1 year, or is it for the 3 years and we use it over the course of the 3 years? I'm just confused by that a little bit.
You're not the only one. So I'm going to be watching Dean, and who will flail if I say something wrong.
Kind of like to see Dean flail.
So we seek a grant for the three-year period. Then each year they grant that year's amount for it. In the last few years, it's been sequestered, and we're a minimum program state. If there's some large states that get a different amount, but all the, if your minimum, $3 million is the minimum, and minus sequestration. And so you get that each year, I suppose, depending on whether they think they have money to follow through on the grant they had previously said. And however, you don't have to use it specifically that year. You can carry it over into a following year. And so we have been for a long time kind of operating that way, that we've held some carryover. And so if the program kind of ended tomorrow, a lot of the work we're going to do this summer, we're going to be doing with money from last year's grant. And a lot of this year's grant, we're going, unless there's far more emergencies pop up than we expect, a lot of this year's grant will be used next year. And so whenever this ends, and it is set to expire this year, hopefully it will be renewed. But if it does come to a screeching halt, we'll have an extra year of operations kind of saved up, because that is just something that is allowable in the grant, because these things are kind of unpredictable. So that's why they allow that.
And you can carry it over for 1 year? Or in
2 years?
3 years.
Oh, three. Okay.
You want to grab a mic, Dean?
Grab
why don't you grab a mic? Sorry.
They are three-year grants, and within that grant, there's a one-year administrative sub-grant, and that pays for the office stuff and some staff time. And the remainder of it is called a construction grant, and that's a three-year. And we spend the oldest one first, spend that down. Because of the nature of construction, you can't spend it. You get your grant in February, March, April. You can't spend it within that year. So they make the construction grant a three years.
All right. So we always have this three-year grant, but it doesn't include projects for 3 years. It's just,
and we traditionally spent down in 2 years. We try to have it.
Okay.
The oldest grants spent down in 2 years.
All right.
So next year we'll be spending this year's grant for construction.
Yeah, I see. And so when we get a 3 year grant, it is a little deceiving in that it isn't providing 3 years of funding. It's providing about 1 year of funding that can be spent over 3 years.
Probably one and a half.
Okay. All right. That's helpful.
It's odd that a federal program would be...
confusing?
Complicated. Like
is
this one is.
So very odd. I also have to comment that I think this must be the only program under the sun that is still subject to sequestration. Is that actually a term that's still considered valid?
It is in this program.
With the way things are, the money that is flying out of D.C., there's still things subject to sequestration. Wow.
I know. I think the impressive part, and you know, it's amazing too when you think about sequestration, but the impressive part is you have a current industry that is correcting things that have occurred in the past that they've had no control over. They weren't a player on the scene at the time when you think of our mining community. So they pay to correct past mistakes. And if that doesn't define what being a good corporate citizen is all about, I don't know what would. So I think it's important that the public doesn't think that these abandoned mines are tied to the current players, because they're not. They're disconnected from a responsibility standpoint. But that's really impressive. And I don't know of very many programs or industries in the country today that do that.
And that's a good setup to, if we're kind of done on the merits of the motion, I would like to reemphasize that this program is set to expire this fall. And there have been a number of proposals discussed. I really don't know what's been submitted in bill form at this point, but there have been proposals discussed to extend it. And I'm a big proponent of that. It's such an important program. I mean, some of these cave-ins happen on highways and stuff like that. This is a great, great program. However, some of the extensions then call for it to be used to prop up pension funds that haven't been properly maintained over the years, or for just like economic development programs in places. And I don't feel that's what this program is for. You know, those probably are issues that deserve attention, but not from this fund. And the reason is this is not paid for with taxpayers' money out of the general population's pockets. This is 100% paid for by a tax on the coal industry, and most players in the coal industry have supported and encouraged themselves being taxed to do this because they see, you know, they're good environmental stewards, I guess, first of all. But secondly, they even, I think, see a benefit from it in that people have a better reaction to current mining when they see these old things being taken care of. So they've been very supportive of using their funds to run this program and pay for these problems left behind by their predecessors, like you say, Brian, not by them. But I don't think they will be very supportive of doing it, like I say, to take care of other things completely unrelated to mining. And so hopefully we will not just get the program extended, because keeping the tax on and blowing it on something else, that'd be the easy part, but extended in a way that keeps this operating in the manner as it has in the past. And there are some good proposals to do that and some not so good ones. So that's the extension isn't the issue. It's how it's extended in my mind.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Randy, for getting so thoroughly through those complicated motions. Next up is Brian, and call before you dig month. You have a couple damage.
Correct.
Damage prevention.
Yeah, thank you.
Issues on the item. On
right.
The agenda.
Ironically, we do. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think the theme of the day is all tied to digging. So until we get to the very end, my last item will deviate from that. But so my first item, I move the commission adopt the order and notice of default in Public Service Commission Hanson's Concrete, Masonry, and Landscaping LLC damage prevention enforcement case number PU-19-303.
Second.
On August 27th, 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Montana Dakota Utilities Company alleging a violation by Hanson's Concrete, Masonry, and Landscaping of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, which is the one-call excavation notice system. On August 28th, the following day, the commission staff sent a letter to Hanson's enclosing the complaint and requested a response by September 12th of 2019. On June 23rd, 2020, commission advocacy staff filed a complaint alleging Hanson's violated North Dakota Century Code 49-23 by failing to provide an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call Notification Center at least 48 hours before beginning an excavation. Then on July 23rd, the commission found the complaint stated a prima facie case and service of the complaint was initiated on September 4th via a request to the McKenzie County Sheriff's Office. On September 10th, also of 2020, the complaint was served on Hanson's as evidenced by a copy of the sheriff's return household service on file with the commission. And then on March 10th, commission advocacy staff filed and served a motion for order of default. Hanson's Concrete is a registered company located in Watford City, North Dakota. And this was all stems from an excavation that Hanson's began while performing landscaping in Watford City. And as a result of the excavation, they damaged Montana Dakota Utilities 1-inch steel natural gas service line. MDU alleges that the cost to repair its facility was just shy of $3,000. The facts before the commission indicate that Hanson's is in default for failing to file an answer within 20 days after service of the complaint. And the other part that's important, Hanson's failed to provide an excavation notice to the One Call Center, notification center, at least 48 hours before beginning their excavation. Again, as stated, Hanson's is in default because we did not receive an answer, and as a result, the order, if approved, would recognize that Hanson's Concrete, Masonry, and Landscaping is in default under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 28-32 and North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 69-02-02 for failing to file an answer to the complaint within 20 days after service of the complaint. And also that Hanson's failed to provide an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call Notification Center at least 48 hours before beginning the excavation. As a result of this, again, if this order is approved, Hanson's Concrete, Masonry, and Landscaping will be assessed a civil penalty of $1,500 remittable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days upon service of this order and notice of default. Under North Dakota Century Code, one final point, Hanson's Concrete, Masonry, and Landscaping has 7 days after service of this order and notice of default to file a written motion requesting that the default order be vacated. So they do have the opportunity to respond. Of course, as mentioned, a part of this order states that they did not respond within the 20 days after the complaint was served. And also, again, that they failed to call at least 48 hours in advance, which is very important. They hit a one-inch gas service line, and that's always problematic for obvious reasons. But the other problematic issue in all of this is if a line is nicked, damaged, but the damage is not recognized, and then it's backfilled, covered up. And then over the course of time, the gas will migrate somewhere, and oftentimes it will migrate wherever that trench was for the line, which can lead up to the foundation of a house. a home, and you get a gas buildup over the course of time, and on occasion you hear about explosions occurring and serious injury and even loss of life. So it's just incredibly important, as the chair pointed out, this is the beginning of Safe Digging Month, as stated at the beginning of the order, and that starts with calling the One Call Center always in advance of beginning work. So I support the motion and the fine.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Or I should say order.
Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, next on my list is another damage prevention enforcement case. I move the commission adopt the order and notice of default in Public Service Commission, Randall's Excavating Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-384.
Second.
This stems from a December, back to December 18th of 2019, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Midco Communications alleging a violation by Randall's Excavation of the One Call Excavation Notice System, the One Call Law. On December 19th, the following day, after receiving the complaint, Commission staff sent a letter to Randall's enclosing the complaint and requested a response by January 6th. A response was received on January 9th from Randall's regarding the December 18th one-call complaint. And then as things were worked through between the party, fast-forwarding to September 21st, of 2020, Commission advocacy staff filed a complaint alleging Randall's violated North Dakota Century Code by presuming that an underground facility was abandoned without verification by reference to installation records or testing. And to my prior point, although this wasn't a gas line, they backfilled over the damage and failed to notify the operator of the damage to their facilities. Again, they presumed it was abandoned. On December 16th, 2020, the commission found the complaint stated a prima facie case, and service of the complaint was initiated on December 18th, 2020. On December 30th, a return receipt was signed by Randall's as evidenced by the return receipt on file with the commission. And on March 10th of this year, excuse me, advocacy staff filed and served a motion for order of default. Randall's Excavating is located in Glendon, Minnesota. This goes back to when they were excavating Randall's conducting excavation activities on October 24th, 2019, while performing sewer and water service in West Fargo. As a result of the excavation, damage to Midco's coaxial cable and conduit were sustained. Randall's presumed the damaged facility was abandoned and again proceeded to backfill over the damage. The cost to repair the facility, according to Midco, was approximately $3,500. And again, the issue at hand is that the facility was presumed to be abandoned. The excavator should have checked with the operator to verify that before backfilling. The facts before the commission indicate that Randall's is in default for failing to file an answer within 20 days after service of the complaint. They missed it by a few days, but it was still beyond the 20-day window. And for failing to file an answer to the complaint, by doing so, that constitutes grounds for default under North Dakota Century Code. If this order is approved, Hansen's will be assessed a fine of $10,000 for the reasons mentioned. If it is approved, that would be payable within 10 business days upon service of this order and notice of default. And again, under North Dakota Century Code, Randall's Excavating has 7 days after service of this order to file a written motion requesting that the default order be vacated. So this one's a little different in terms of the type of facility, a little different in terms of the actions that ensued after the excavation occurred and the damage occurred as well. And, you know, for excavators out there, it's incredibly important. Never presume a facility is abandoned. Determine who the operator is and contact them immediately, and then the proper steps can be taken at that point in time rather than after the fact, where they literally have to go back in, dig things up again, and this could have been mitigated to a great extent had they done that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my last item is just a quick cleanup item. I'll explain why. I move the commission issue a corrected notice of opportunity for hearing the Northern States Power Company Customer Credit Department of Energy Settlement 2019 application case number PU-21-89.
Second.
Okay, this was on our last meeting. It's the same case number, the notice of opportunity is changing in just one respect, and that is it is no longer, I forgot what the date was. It was in April in terms of when written comments would be received. This will change that order to comments and requests for a hearing must be received by May 17th, 2021. And the reason we are redoing this, everything else was correct in terms of the amounts, et cetera, of the refund, how it would be applied potentially. And the reason we're redoing this, the notice that was sent out that would be published wasn't received by one newspaper in time, and we need to provide at least 20 days of time from the publishing date to the commenting cutoff date. So we just want to make sure we do this correctly. So the full 20 days is available, again, for just one newspaper. The others had enough time, but as is any newspaper's prerogative, this one had a slightly different deadline, and we just weren't able to get it in on time.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
All righty. Very good. Thank you. So I'm just going to go over a couple announcements. We have a formal hearing on April 16th on the case of Nodak Electric Cooperative versus Ottertail Power. It's a complaint case. And so that's set for Friday, April 16th. And then the next formal hearing will be not until May 6th on a transmission line siting case in Montreal County for Basin Electric. I do anticipate that we'll be scheduling the day two of our complaint with the Kesslers versus Minnesota Power or Elite. We'll be scheduling that during our scheduling portion of the meeting. But I also wanted to just mention, and we can follow up on this, but I thought we had scheduled the Xcel rate case hearing, and I don't see that on our schedule. So
I think it's in June or July.
So I just wanted to double check, unless, because this calendar isn't showing it. So I want to make sure that we've got that those dates protected if we did indeed schedule them, and maybe I'm we did have a flurry of scheduling.
Was that you're talking about NSP's electric rate? Right now I see that it's scheduled for July 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
That sounds correct.
So it's pushed way out there, which
okay, I wonder why it's not showing on this calendar. Okay. All right. Well, it was something that I thought that popped up as a possible concern, so no big deal.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we'll take a brief recess, and we can break or come back.
The Microsoft Teams virus is preventing me from getting on Internet, so I'm going to need a little break in between before we do scheduling.
All right. We'll take a brief recess and then a break.